DQ presents. Picture this. You stand before the awe-inspiring new signature stack burger menu at DQ and your mouth wonders, where have you been all my life? That's 5 taste bud tempting cheeseburgers with 100% real seasoned beef. You peek at the loaded A1 stack burger with 2 premium sauces. Then the flamethrower stack burger with tongue-tingling jalapeno bacon. Then you realize moments like these are exactly why we have the DQ signature stack burger menu. DQ. Happy tastes good. Get it delivered at DQ.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And, Gerald, I'm going to go into this real fast because we have a clip we want to play. But let me just say this. Now, you know, you often hear people say, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render what belongs to God what belongs to God. Now, see, I know very clearly because the Bible is very, very clear on that. It says, what belongs to God is the earth and the fullness thereof. The earth and the fullness thereof belong to God. So if you take the earth and everything that's on the earth and everything that's in the earth, and that belongs to God, what's left for Caesar?
Well, Caesar, civil government, was ordained by God, as you know, at the flood. And it was, as Romans 13, 1 Peter chapter 2, you read down in there, it was ordained to punish evildoers and reward those who do good.
How so, now, by what means was it to do that? Because it was something very specific that God's word, the Bible tells you.
It was never to deal with spiritual matters. It was to deal with earthly matters to control evil, you know.
Yeah, and, but just say, in that, you know, when God gave us the divine institution of human government, he gave us 5 very, very clear points in that institution, okay? One, the first one was, to whom he was giving this covenant. That's the Noahic covenant there in Genesis 9.
Right.
And he tells you that in verses 10, 12, to all of living, for perpetual generations, to all living creatures, to mankind. So that covers all dispensations. The second point was, the intent. The intent was man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. Now, the third point was the most important point. The third point was the entire purpose of divine human government. The entire purpose, and you find that in Genesis 9, 3 to 5, or 5 through 7, was to preserve the image of God, that being man. To preserve the image. That's the entire purpose of divine human government. But the fourth point was the means by which man was to govern. Now listen, the means by which man was to govern for God. Man's laws, God's statutes, God's covenants, God's promises, God's commands. That was the means that man was to use to, because we're talking now legitimate government, okay? And the idea was that if you were in compliance with the first 4, then you would be at peace, all nations and people, and not at war with God. So if you go by that, you're talking about legitimate government. Is there a difference between legitimate government and illegitimate government?
Well, yeah, any government that's not in line with the word of God is illegitimate. And so our government is no longer legitimate under God, and it will be judged. Every nation reaches a point where the only remedy is judgment, you know. And exactly, Pastor. And on that one thing, on that 508, I know we don't have time to explain it, but if you just put in GeraldFinney.com, it'll take you to a page that says the rules and regulations that come with 501c3 and 508 status. And there's a link down there, Church Internal Revenue Code, Section 508c1a, tax exempt status. That first article and then that one will explain to you why a First Amendment church is non-taxable, okay? A First Amendment church is non-taxable. A statutory church, 501c3 or 508c1a church, is tax exempt. There's a great difference because a 508c1a church, even though they didn't apply for tax exempt status, is held to the same rules and regulations that come with 501c3. And I just want to explain that real quick, but the details are in those.
In my opinion, you're either a church or you're not, you see? And in my opinion, if you're incorporated, you become a corporation, and you can't be both the living body of Christ and the non-living dead body creation of the state at the same time. So I think, so I was only looking at First Amendment churches as real churches.
Exactly.
And so that's where I met, and that's when those two IRS agents on the program was referring to. Those are real churches, okay, and all real churches are tax exempt. So, but anyhow,
well, no, real churches, all First Amendment churches are tax exempt. I mean, non-taxable.
Non-taxable.
The only way you can tax anybody is through a statute.
Okay.
508C1A is a statute that some people say gives automatic tax exemption. No, you have to claim 508C1A status. You do that by giving IRS acknowledgments for gifts. And then if you see, that's a statute. First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or preventing the free exercise thereof. No law. 508C1A is a law that makes you tax exempt. See what I mean?
Okay.
Rather than non-taxable, because if you claim tax exempt status under 508C1A, you are held, and I explain this, and it's in all the IRS, it's in many IRS regulations, and I link to them. You can go straight to them. And they say churches that meet the requirements of 501c3 are automatically tax exempt under 508c1a. See, in order to be tax exempt under 508c1a, you have to meet the requirements of 501c3, which makes you tax exempt. But if you claim your First Amendment status and you don't become a legal entity, you are non-taxable. You're under the First Amendment protection. You're not under 508C1A or 501C3, which are laws made by man. First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. Well, if you put yourself under one of those laws, you're now tax exempt, and you're held to the requirements that come with 501c3, even if you see, does that make sense to you?
Well, yeah, I want to just say thank you for straightening out Pastor Joe on all of that. He was a little confused.
Well, listen, I just talked with a pastor about this the other day, and once we talked about it about 30 minutes, and he read the article and everything. He said, you're right, you know. And well, I understand, I felt the same way for several years when I first started this work starting in 2005 until I really studied it out. And it takes some time and thought to study it all out. And then I put what I learned in that article and I repented. And I said I was wrong. You don't want to be tax exempt. You want to be non-taxable.
Taxable.
Under
what
the First Amendment.
What about, according to Scripture, I believe we were tax immune, according to God's word. But anyhow,
we're non-taxable. We're non-taxable.
Okay.
If we're still under, you know, as the church, they can't tax a non-legal entity. There's no way they can tax a non-legal entity unless it's a scam. You know what I mean? It's actually maybe a business and it's making money. And, of course, many churches are businesses and they're operating like businesses, and
I know, but I got to move on because
a lot of writing.
Yeah,
we need to start taxing churches, and I wish they would. And because the only churches they could tax would be the churches that are legal entities, like corporate 501c3, 508c1. They would be doing the Lord a great service if they would start taxing churches, because the only churches they could tax would be those who are corporations, 501c3 or 508c1a churches.
Because, well, you see, they do want to tax them. I've heard that the politicians are talking about they do want to tax them, that Biden does, But with us, with the First Amendment Church, they want to persecute us. I got to change course here because we're running, the clock is running on me. I'm going to play a clip. This clip is with Steve Bannon and Nora Bin Laden, who is filing a human rights complaint with the United Nations over January 6th political prisoners. What's happening, what the Democratic Collective has done to the patriots that were arrested in what that deep state, false flag operation by the criminal elements, by Nancy Pelosi, who is hiding all of the evidence, and all of the other hardcore criminals there. I mean, really hardcore criminals there in D.C. And so we're going to play this clip, and then, Consular, you can comment. So take it away.
More fundamental problem with the United Nations right now. Can you walk us through your theory of the case in regards to the January 6th incident, ma'am?
Yes, absolutely. I recently wrote a statement which was submitted through a UN-accredited NGO called PACE, the Planetary Association for Clean Energy, although the name doesn't reflect all the issues they tackle. It's a very special process through which you are able to appeal to the United Nations Human Rights Council on certain issues, and they in turn publish these statements and they become official work documents recorded in the UN. And so this opportunity arose at the last minute. Their UN representative reached out and asked me if I wanted to appeal to the Human Rights Council about an issue, and I immediately thought of 1-6 and the abuses the protesters are being subjected to by the U.S. regime, this rogue government. And this is exactly what I did. I wrote a 1,500-word document, which now sits on the desk of those special rapporteurs at the United Nations Human Rights Council. And while it's a long shot, because we very well know that the UN is a completely compromised entity, it's a construction and vessel of the globalists, I thought I might as well poke them in the eye and call them out on their hypocrisy for not addressing this issue. And who knows, maybe there's a long shot, a special rapporteur will take this on.
But even more importantly, walk through, give us a couple of minutes, walk through your theory of the case. How do you go to the, you had the opportunity, because you're an internationally known figure and known as being fair and even-handed and very smart, to go to the United Nations Human Rights Council. Walk us through the two or three things. What's your theory of the case of why there have been human rights violations of the 1-6 political prisoners?
No, absolutely. The objective that I wanted to reach with this statement was to have recorded the abuses of these political prisoners, the physical abuses of those that are being detained, psychological abuse as well, and also just the complete denial of their rights, you know, the right to a fair trial, the right to due process, the right to the blind application of the law. And I mean, it's just so shocking to see that they are actually being presumed guilty and have to be proven innocent, and it's not the other way around. And so it was important for me to have that recorded. Furthermore, I also wanted to have recorded the fact that this entire insurrection narrative is a hoax. I've been writing about this since January 2021, first for Revolver. And as I say, and I'll keep saying it, this wasn't an insurrection. This was an entrapment operation. And now both of these elements regarding 1-6 have been put forward at the Human Rights Council in writing.
Nor, we're going to take. Do we have the 1,500 word document? Can we get that? I want to put that over. Is that something you can actually share? I know you wrote it, I think, on your Substack, mm-hmm. but is that something that can actually be shared? Because I think people need to, and I think they need to mm-hmm. see it, because the media here is all saying they're insurrectionists, they're criminals who go to prison forever. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the conservative media here has kind of passed on it. They don't want to touch it. And you never hear about it on Fox News, and they just don't want to touch it. It's obviously a big deal for us and our audience. Is this something we can share with people?
Yes, absolutely. It's on my website, norbinladen.com. And this is the thing Steve, it's so ironic that it has to be, you know, a private citizen like myself that has to be going through this process. And another aim with this document, aside from calling out the UN's hypocrisy and the abuses of the U.S. government, was also to call out the people that are supposed to be defending them, you know, the rhinos, or as I call them, you know, because of the Uniparty, we can't even really talk about rhinos anymore. I call them ANOs, you know, Americans in name only, that are not standing up for these defendants and at large for the Americans and the patriots that are being smeared and that are being crushed by the media, by the DOJ, which has been completely captured, as we know, by the intelligence agencies, you know, the entire weaponization of all these institutions targeting upstanding American citizens, simply because all form of dissent has to be crushed. And all the people that are calling out the illegitimacy of the regime have to be put down. And it's just, I mean, this is traitor level, in my opinion, that those who are supposed to represent these citizens are failing. And I mean, we can be really grateful for representatives, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Gates, Senator Ron Johnson, among a handful that are defending and standing up and speaking about these political prisoners. But the vast majority, I mean, this is a huge litmus test, and we know on which side real Americans are.
Well, you're on the side of the angels. Real quickly, how do people get to you on social media? How do they get to your website?
NoorBinLaden.com, and on Twitter, at NoorBinLaden. At Getter as well, it's the same. So that's where I publish my writings and my takes.
Thank you very much for joining us from Switzerland today. We greatly appreciate it, Norbin.
Ready. Okay, now we're back. Now we've got to make a decision here. Consular, she says that instead of calling them rhinos, we should be calling them anal. So what do you think? Do you think which name do you think represents them the best?
Well, I've fought extensively against the rhinos on the local level many years, 20 years in the Republican Party, very active. There were always two factions, first in Tarrant County for about 5 or 6 years, then moved to Travis County, Texas, where Austin is. And in both places, and in most places, at least here in Texas, that I've seen, you always have the what they call the fiscal conservatives and the social conservatives. The fiscal conservatives would support rhinos. The social conservatives would support
conservatives.
You know, truly honest people who believe like you and I do. In other words, but so that war has been going on exactly. I think the latter term would be better for them.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. All right. Now we've got to do some fast lightning rounds. Okay. Speaking about that whole thing had to do with the election that was stolen. And I'm going to say this right here, and I've said this before, that election was stolen, and anyone that says it wasn't is a liar, and there ain't a bit of truth in them. I got so aggravated because you expect NBC, ABC, PMS, and all that, because, you know, they come right out and they'll let you know they're rhinos. But those at Fox News that say they're fair and balanced, and they not only were they in lockstep, not only did the echo chamber go in, but they are contracted to lie. They're under contract, but they don't call it a lie. They call it the narrative. But they signed a contract saying, yes, I will get out there and I will speak the narrative, whatever lie we're told to tell. And if you don't tell the lie that you're told to tell, then you get fired. And so, but when you say that you're fair and balanced and you do that, and this is why, you know, we outed Brett Baer. He made me so angry because Not only did they do that, but Joe, you remember every one of them before they do it, Susan Smith, Brett Baer, little Chris, Chris Wallace.
Chris Wallace.
Going down the line, I'm trying to think of the others right away. The guy with a big head, Kabuto, all of these. They didn't just tell that lie. They didn't just say, "Where's the evidence?" They did this first. They went, "Oh," like that. They all went, "Oh," like that. And then they said, "Where's the evidence?" They used the same words. The echo chamber was in effect. And they insulted the intelligence of people. When we were watching on election night, and we watched the numbers right there get inverted, right in front of our eyes, it's like, well, who are you going to believe, us or your lying eyes? That was one of Slick Willie's favorite statements. But
yep.
Let me read you this. Arizona State Senator Sonny Borelli. Unmonitored drop boxes revealed over 733,000 unaccounted for ballots in Maricopa County alone in the 2020 election. The Gateway Pundit previously reported on the investigation into the Maricopa County ballot harvesting efforts, which used public records requests for a ballot box retrieval in the chain of custody forms utilized in Maricopa. It wasn't but about 2 weeks ago Brett Baer had said that there was no evidence at all, and they found there was no evidence of any election fraud found in Arizona. So there you go. 740,000 ballots. He said this. The report concluded that the Maricopa County officials violated Arizona's law and do not have the required chain of custody for at least 740,000 ballots. So where's the evidence, huh?
Brother, I was watching the election results that night. I was there until it looked like Trump was going to win, and then I learned that five states shut down later that night, and whenever they reopened, Trump had been ahead. Now Biden's ahead. I watched the legislative hearings of a lot of the evidence. I watched the whole legislative hearing in Georgia. I watched the whole one in Pennsylvania. I watched part of the one in Arizona, and I've kept up with that situation in Wisconsin and Michigan. I'm a lawyer. I know what evidence is, and you're exactly right. They can say things like that because they have a certain number of people, fewer and fewer. I quit watching the secular media, the communist media in 1980. The first lie I saw them told was in the 1964 election, when Barry Goldwater was running. And they took a sentence of his out of a speech he gave to make it sound like he was saying the opposite of what he said. In context, he wasn't saying what they said. But when I found that out, I forgot how I found it out. I got mad at it. I started watching it. In 1980, when I saw Carter debate Reagan, and then they came on and gave their analysis, I said, that's it. I just watched what happened. And now they're going to tell me what just happened. And I found out they were liars, and I don't listen to them. I get all, especially lately, I get a lot of sources, and I get the truth. And those sources tell me a lot of the lies the secular media is saying, giving out. Fox News is sold out. It's got some fairly decent, but we've got to get our sources, and we're not going to have those sources. If they succeed, we know we're not going to have sources. So what we need to do at that point, when all we have is the state rubber stamp media, anything they say, if we listen to it, just take the opposite of what they're saying, that'll be the truth.
Well, this is why our side is going, and we're opening up, and a lot of media, and now the
thank God for your program, brother.
Yeah, by God's grace, we've been on the air as long as we have been. And speaking of that, here's one you won't hear on any of the fake news media out there. Now, this article is by the VT, the VT editors, and it's a general posting managed by Jim Dean. But this is according to the department. This happened yesterday morning, and this was in Moscow, the Moscow News, and in the TASS news agency, they reported this. So I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. Warning, a NATO Internet National Security letter has been issued blocking the reporting of alleged capture of an American general in Mariupol. How do you pronounce that, Joe? Mariupol? I believe it's Mariupol. Mariupol? Yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah, we were doing it earlier before the show.
But anyhow, our sources...
You know what you mean, I think.
Our sources on the ground report that the last two helicopters trying to evacuate from the VIPs from Mariupol were shot down this morning. They were sent on a suicide mission to collect Lieutenant General Coulter, who was, we are told, hiding in a huge industrial complex with some special forces staffers. Now, this Lieutenant General Coulter is an American Army officer, okay? American general. And he was, General Coulter, who was, we are told, hiding in a huge industrial complex with some special force staffers and about 30 Ukrainian army, not Azov soldiers. This hour's old story from TASS below. Now, he was sent there to lead the Azov Nazis in the Mariupol. Okay, Mariupol.
Mariupol, so, yeah.
Yeah, so on the morning of April 5th, another attempt by the Kyiv regime to evacuate the leaders of the Azov Nationalist Battalion and others were thwarted near Mariupol. Two Ukrainian M18 helicopters tried to break through to the city from the sea and were shot down from the man-portable anti-aircraft missile systems. Igor, oh, this is a good one, Konashenkov, spokesman for the Russian Defense Ministry, said in a briefing. Well, you said, look, you say, well, that's Russian news. Listen, you can believe them every bit as much as you can our news media. Note, this is the third attempt by the Kyiv to pull this war criminals from the crime scene. But it ended the same way as the previous ones. The helicopters did not reach Mariupol. And then it goes on to say, reports from our friends at the Pentagon, from the Pentagon, summing up, and panic has set in at the White House. Minutes ago, the general showed up on his LinkedIn account that we are told that the ranks of the retirees in crisis. Now, I think the latest thing they're saying is that this Lieutenant General Coulter, I read an article here that they're saying he died a year ago or something. But this report comes right out of, in the Russian news, and it comes right out of the the editors at General Reporting TV. So, all right, we'll be we're coming up to a break, and we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, angel removed the stone from the tomb, and when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
the Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
And you can take that to the bank. That is Carl Clay, my old buddy. And I sure do miss that fellow. He is a real patriot. And what a talented, talented artist. But anyhow, Biden purposely purging Christians from the military. Biden is purposefully purging Christians from the military. This is an article by Bob Unruh and with the World News Daily News Center. Using vaccine mandates to target and eliminate the faithful. And Joe Biden is using Chinese virus, COVID-19, and medical communities' assistance on vaccinations for everyone literally to be willfully and purposefully purging Christians from the military. The comment comes from Matt Staver, the founder of the organization Liberty Council, which has been involved in the legal war over the Biden regime's unwarranted campaign. The issue is that the lot of Christians across America raise objections to the COVID-19 vaccines because of their links to abortion. It's not that they contain aborted fetus cells, but medical authorities, even those who advocate for their use, have to admit the drugs today are tested using fetal cell lines started years ago. But folks, I'm going to just stop there because, listen, Scott, let me tell you, they're killing people. It's designed to kill people. It's not a vaccine. It is not a vaccine, okay? Counselor Nuremberg, the Nuremberg trials and the Nuremberg code, did not the United States sign on to the Nuremberg Code?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's going on here? Because these are not vaccines, and they're experimental. And doesn't that Nuremberg Code said that you cannot force anyone to take that?
Oh, yeah. And again, you know, any code, any law is only as good as those in power that are given the responsibility to carry it out. And of course, Biden and the whole communist regime, I call it the whole satanic regime, they're out to, it's ultimately, and I've got a paper that I downloaded early on, you know, prior to the election, the Democrats wrote up and made it very clear that this is a war on God and God's people. It's very clear. And so the only way that, you know, hopefully if Indeed, the Republicans gain control of the Senate and the House. They'll start hearings on a lot of these things. And, of course, I believe, and Rush, I heard Rush Limbaugh, they played him on a, something I was listening to yesterday, I believe. And he predicted back in 2020 that if they've got enough, and we knew about all this stuff with Hunter Biden and all that before the election. We knew they covered it up. The media covered it up, you know, and everything. There was all the evidence was there. But hopefully, if they get in control, they'll start hearings on a lot of this stuff. And I think they're, you know, it's possible what Rush said. I heard him. They played it. He said they've got all this evidence. If they need to get rid of Biden, they'll bring it out. And Biden is so unpopular that may be what's happening. The media is beginning to report about the laptop. And of course, they kind of try to protect Biden, what they're reporting from what I've heard. But they may be going to use that evidence to get rid of Biden. I don't, you know, where does that leave us with Kamala Harris? But that's an interesting thing I heard, and it may be, because why else would the secular media even be acknowledging it now?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because Obama Nation, he likes to speak in esoteric little terms. And remember when he was saying before the election, if I could run a third term, what I would like to do is be operate from a basement. I would like to have my candidate out there with earphones, and I would give him commands from the basement. I would be ruling. Now, he came out and he said this. Now, in other words, it's like, and they have a tendency to tell you what they're going to do. They do it in movies and all kinds of things. Now, here, when he comes out just a couple of days ago with Joe Biden, and Obama shows up, he refers to Biden as vice president, and then he made a statement about President Harris, and everybody was laughing, but he was so he's making this statement, and Joe's got his hand on Obama's shoulder, and Obama's not paying attention to him at all, walks away, and there's old Joe standing there by himself, and nobody's even looking at him. Okay, do you think that that was done on purpose to tell their faithful out there what's coming?
A nice direct message.
Yeah, I would not at all doubt it, you know. And, of course, Rush and some of the others said that, of course, we know Joe Biden's puppet, but even if Obama's the one that's giving him, you know, his conduit, giving Biden the instructions, Obama himself is in with the deep state. He's been trained by the World Economic Forum and others, you know. They've all been trained by the deep, you know, the – and really – people may think I'm crazy. You may think I'm crazy. But I believe at the top of this pyramid of power over there is Satan himself.
Oh, absolutely. We don't think you're crazy.
We think you're absolutely right.
In fact, you know, we told people in March of 2020, we told people everything you just said, that what was going on here, that they're going to do everything they can to keep the attention off of, you know, Biden. You know, if we got to start a war, we'll start a war, whatever it is at that point, until they want to use that, until they want to remove him. And we also told them back then, in March 2020, these are not vaccines. These are not vaccines. We tried to tell people. And again, people are dropping left and right. Look at the military, and they're destroying. Joe is out there. We cannot. I don't think that America can take one more year of him. I think he will have completely destroyed if we don't get rid of the Democrats. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, it's very clear. What is it? He's talking about war. He's talking about. He's telling us there's going to be famine. There's going to. You know, they want to use those tools. The vaccine itself was, like you mentioned earlier, was a depopulation of the earth. They've been for that. I just copied an article or downloaded an article on that. That started big time in the 60s, you know, that depopulation has been at the top of their agenda. Get the earth down to 500 million people, the masses and the elite control. So they're telling us, if you just listen, we know what they want to do. They want to kill us. They want to war. They want all the all these illegals coming in. They want to create, they want to destroy this nation and then rebuild it as part of the new world order with a new man. They want to create a new man. You see, that just imagine, you know, John Lennon, imagine that they want to reimagine. What did God say at the Tower of Babel when he confused the language? If we don't do so, they'll do anything according to their imagination. And it's all so satanic. And if you can just catch glimpses, and you can only follow so much of it, but if you get the basics as a believer, you can see exactly what they're trying to do, you know, brother.
Exactly. We've been preaching that this whole thing, underneath everything, is a spiritual war between the Antichrist system and the church, the true church. And if you go down the list of all the isms in the world, I kind of did that last night, all the isms are really what? Nothing but Antichrist.
Amen.
And it is the whole, it is Satan rising up wanting to, you know, be as God, and he's going to try and be the ruler of this world, pulling the strings. And it's a spiritual warfare, but people just don't want to see the underpinning. That's what it really is. That's the real war, is the spiritual battle.
They'll be marrying, just carrying on. Most people are just carrying on as long as they can get through. And it's not too bad for the average American yet. You know, they are consumed with both, if they are married, you know, it's a man and woman, which is coming pure. They're consumed with living in the big house, sending their children off to the state indoctrination centers to babysit for them instead of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and all that.
We just played, I played a tip from Yuval Noah Harari, and he's the second in command over there. He's from Israel, under Klaus Schwab. And here he was talking about useless eaters, the useless people, the useless eaters, over and over. In other words, he made this statement that there is no God above the clouds, okay? There is no God. That man, that through technology, he's making the same statement that Nietzsche did. Remember when Nietzsche had said that God had created man in his image, and now through technology, man will return the favor. Yeah, and so
returning the favor.
This is what this Harari said. He's coming out, and they feel that they're safe enough that they can actually come out and do it. They're powerful, and there's not going to be enough resistance from the world. And so that's one of the things, you know, Russia, no matter what you think, Russia is one of the countries that's fighting against them, against that. We're here, the communists in our country are, you know, Biden's all in with them.
And yeah, so, it reminds me of Psalms 2, you know, all of it. Reminds me of Psalms 2. And that lets us know what's going to happen, you know.
I hear you.
Wait, there's some good news tonight. I think God was intervening, you know, when that Hunter Biden's laptop got dropped off at a repair shop.
And now I wouldn't doubt that.
You know, I don't think that was a FBI trick or anything. But Jack Maxey, we played a clip the other couple nights ago about him. He has provided a copy of the computer drive to the London Daily Mail to members of Congress. Now, he's in Switzerland. He's investigating the hard drive, and he has just confirmed today that they found 450 gigabytes of material that Hunter Biden apparently thought were deleted, and they have been able to recover them. And the world's going to be really surprised because he's talking about on there these, they found images, 80,000 images, 120,000 emails, videos. And the Daily Mail explained this laptop is brimming with evidence of criminal activity by him and his associates, including drug trafficking and prostitution. And so all this was hidden, and it's coming out. There was enough bad stuff that was readily found, and even the liberal media is having to turn on Biden, and they finally realized that, you know, he was more corrupt, I think, than they thought, and they're going to have to take him out. You were talking about that earlier, but I think that's the reason they're going to, in fact, one of the people in the grand jury was asking when they were looking at the grand jury convened on Hunter Biden and his business dealings, hey, who's the big guy? We want to know who the big guy is when they were doing evidence. So here's a grand jury bringing things out in the open that's in the news, and there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle, folks.
Amen. Amen.
No, there's not. But whenever the fake news media, whenever the left wing, when they no longer can keep something covered up, and that's why they hate us so much, because you know we really make it difficult for them at times, and so
we try.
Yeah, and so what happens, and not just us, I praise the good Lord for all of the independent, those that do what we're doing out there, the free press, all of them, you know, I praise the good Lord for that. Alex Jones and Stuart Best and all of those that are out there doing what they're doing. But once they can't cover it up anymore, then they put their own twist on it. They put their own spin on it, okay? And they try to pretend like that it's always different than what we're telling you. But anyhow,
Bring up that they covered it up when it came out, and when there was a lot, you know, it was that they never bring that up. Now they're just, most people will never know that it even happened. You and I heard about it before the election. It was coming out on the sources we listened to, and your sources, you knew all about Hunter Biden, and you saw that speech that Joe Biden gave at the CFR, telling how he told them, you know, if you don't fire that prosecutor, you won't get the $1 billion. And then, you know, the rest of that. We heard all that.
Oh, yeah.
We saw it. We saw it right there on video. It was in the laptop.
Biden is taking credit. Look how powerful I am. I told them, and they thought, well, it'd have to come from the president.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That guy is so wicked. And people a lot of people just couldn't see it.
No. Well,
you know, how can he even have 30% or 40% approval? Because you've got a bunch of wicked people in this country, totally wicked people that will not listen to reason and facts.
Yeah, but I can't trust those polls no more than the way you can get people to say whatever you want the way you word a poll. And that's what they do there.
That's something else. But there is a percentage out there. It doesn't matter what. They hate you and me and Trump and what we stand for so bad.
Because it's Antichrist system. We are the ones that keep saying the wages of sin are death. And, you know, you must repent of your sin. And they hate us because, well, like God said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. And the more we preach and the more we speak the truth, the more we're hated.
I got to say this one because we're almost out of time. You know, you got to remember the entire Biden crime cartel. We don't even have time to get into Hillary tonight. But anyhow, remember, you know, it used to be Bo Biden. Remember Bo? He was the Delaware Attorney General, and they had the Biden Foundation, and they were supposed to focus on, now listen to this, abused children. But you know what took place there? That only the handlers involved in that were making money. And the money wasn't going to helping abused children. You know, while there were some horrible, horrible child abuse cases were resolved with very lenient sentences for the pedophiles. Does that kind of sound like Ketanji Brown?
Yeah. Satan
wants to attack the little ones. He wants to get them. And what Jesus say about those who offend those children?
Yep, woe unto them. But you know what? I got to break in on you here because it's your turn tonight, Counselor, to give the invitation. You have 3 minutes to tell the folks out there how they can avoid hell and how they can get to heaven, because God's Word, the Bible, is clear. So give that invitation.
Well, thank you, brother. That's an honor that you'd let me do that. Let me say this. You must know who you are, and you must know who God is. You must understand that you're a dirty, rotten, no-good sinner that deserves hell. That's what I had to realize, that I needed a Savior, that I couldn't do enough good works on my own to earn my way to heaven. I had to know that. I had to know who God was. I had to know who Jesus was. The Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a life without sin, died on the cross, was buried, was resurrected the third day, now sits at the right hand of the Father. He did that for you. He did that so you could turn to God and put your faith in him to save you from your sin and to save you for all of eternity. And when I came to God on that basis and I turned to him, and I trusted Jesus Christ and him alone. Nothing I could do. There was absolutely nothing I could do. That's the Bible way. He did it all. He paid the price for your sin. He said he will save you and give you life eternal. And you'll be a new creature and you'll have hope and everything will change. And that's all I can say. Come to him. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Jesus Christ of the Mormons and Islam, who say he's a great prophet. He was the Son of God who came for one purpose to this earth, to die for my sins and your sins. But you've got to turn to him and you've got to trust him. Amen. Anything you want to add to that, brother?
Yeah, he tells you how to do it. It's not hard. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. And the Lord Amen. Jesus said, pray to the Father in the name of the Son. Ask forgiveness. That's the first thing. You know, they tell you the Word of Faith movement says you don't have to repent. No, Jesus said to repent, ask for forgiveness, and then call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Call upon his name. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And if you will do that, you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you'll be on the road to eternal life. You've got God's Word on it. Does it get any better than God's Word?
No way.
Has anyone ever...
Perfection. Yeah.
Has anyone ever regretted receiving eternal life?
No.
Are there a whole bunch of people that wish they had?
Amen to that.
So
yeah,
there's
one day every knee shall bow,
either heaven or hell.
Amen.
Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The problem is, don't do it when it's too late.
Amen. We're out of time for tonight. So we come to this point of the program every night where we say, good night.
Good
you
night.
Ready, folks, to get in?
Yep.
Good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, 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 ready? Keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.